Shall we pray?
Lord, open our hearts, our lives, our futures, and all the stuff that's of the past to you. Come by your Spirit. Teach us your ways. Let the things that are of you speak to us now, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think the truth is that I'm not an optimist in every single situation. I've discovered that there is a word to describe what I am. What I am is a sober realist. I've found that word, that phrase recently. I'm quite comfortable with using that phrase of being a sober realist. The problem is when you combine that sober realism with my slightly Mediterranean anxiety, it does look, to all intents and purposes, a bit like pessimism. And there are certain situations, they're classic situations, and you know, the rest of the family is sort of guaranteed to know they're coming, which bring out the sober realist in me. For example, one of them is preparing for holidays. Actually, what happens is that other people in the family tends to prepare the holiday. And then in the last sort of 24 hours before the holiday, I start to become this sober realist and start to sort of... Well, it looks like pessimism, and I, you know, start to sort of question whether we're going to get all the stuff in the car and all that stuff that's in the hallway, if that's going to fit in the car. It always fits in the car. It helps now that we've got a 9-seater van, but it always fits in the car. Or if, you know, I get, you know, worried about what the weather's going to be like when we're camping in Wales, which is no bad thing, actually, when you're camping in Wales. Or if we're... if we're travelling to get to the airport, you know, and this happens routinely, we tend to do get to the airport about 3 hours too early, and then the rest of the family are looking around thinking, yep, again, we're here 3 hours too early, because I kind of overcompensate for and slightly pessimistic about any delays that may happen on the motorway, whether we, you know, need to stop for more petrol even though the tank is full, whether we've got all the bits that we need in the car. We did once leave passports behind at a chalet in France and then have to go all the way back, and we did miss a ferry. But that, you know, that was a one-off. Most of the time, we do end up, in fact, pretty much all the time, we've got the ferry. We've always ended up getting an earlier ferry because of my over-anxious sort of approach to the holiday. And the truth is, I do like optimists. I like hanging around with optimists. I mean, most of us would rather hang around with optimists than pessimists or sober realists that sometimes get a bit anxious, wouldn't we? But there are times in reality when optimism runs out. When if we look around at the reality of the situation, as a Newcastle fan, I routinely have this sort of annually, seasonally, recognise that actually there's no point being optimistic now. We're not going up. We may be going down. And that kind of reality sets in. And there are other things that we face in life, more serious things that we face in life, where actually it's hard to be optimistic. In fact, it would be unrealistic to be optimistic. Anna, who's my wife, is also... more importantly, a T-shirt maker. She prints T-shirts, and this is one of the T-shirts that she's printed, and it says optimistic. And if you'll notice, it starts off with really big writing and then gets smaller and smaller and smaller. You know how if you write a postcard to somebody, you start off, you're thinking, I'm just going to use big letters because you're not sure if you're going to have enough to say to this person. And then by the time you get to the end, you've run out of paper because you've got plenty to say, and the words are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and you've been over-optimistic to start with, and then your optimism is running out that you're going to actually be able to say everything that you need to say on the postcard. And it's kind of like the same idea, being optimistic and then actually sort of running out of T-shirt, and you've got to squeeze the letters in. Because the thing about the idea of having... whether the glass is half full if you're an optimist or the glass is half empty as a pessimist is there's still something in the glass. But actually, in reality, there are times in life when actually the glass is just empty. There's nothing in it. There are things, the situations that we face where it's just empty. And whether you're a pessimist or an optimist, it's empty. There's the joke, isn't there, about the you've got the two, the optimist and the pessimist, fighting about whether it's half full or half empty, and then you have the opportunist that comes in and just finishes off the rest of the glass of juice or beer or whatever it is. Optimism depends on our circumstances. It's easy to be optimistic about life if our circumstances are good. It's easy to be optimistic about the next day being sunny if the last 3 weeks have been sunny and you're on a Caribbean island. It's less easy if you've had 3 weeks of rain to be optimistic about there being decent weather the following day. Our optimism is based on our circumstances. Though some people can be more optimistic in difficult situations than other people. But there are, in reality, times when actually the glass is just empty. So the question is, and one of the questions that we're going to be kind of unpacking as we go through this sermon series, is how do we remain hopeful when situations are looking hopeless? How do we remain hopeful when actually there doesn't seem to be any optimism, when the cup is very definitely empty? And how do we do that being real about the reality of what we see, not false hope or false optimism or denying the reality of the situation that we're in? How do we still remain hopeful? Because for some people, they do and they can face real difficulties and remain hopeful. So going forward in the next few months, that's kind of some of the area that we want to be looking at. And what would be great is if you could help us in that. If there's some cards at the back on the way out by the collection pot, and there's a bin underneath, it's got the phrase hope/hopeless underneath it. And if you could write on there things that give you hope, things that help you to remain hopeful, stories of hope that you've experienced, but also flip the other side, stuff that you're struggling with, stuff that actually fills you with kind of hopelessness. Because we want to be able to in this sermon series, try and look at some of that stuff and see if we can collectively work out what it looks like to remain hopeful, whatever the situation. What I find really interesting about Psalm 39 is the author of this psalm is a sober realist. He's a sober. It looks like pessimism. He starts off by saying, you know, tell me the measure of my days. Let me know the reality of the length of my life. I mean, what a pessimistic thing to look at, supposedly. Or is it actually realistic to recognise that there is an end to this life? That our days are numbered? That our life is but fleeting? And then he goes on to say, I think this kind of reflects true of what can be the case about rushing around like phantoms, like ghosts, like incomplete people, rushing in vain for money in this case, as if money was going to be able to, once we got enough money, was going to be able to sort out our situations, that actually in that money we could put our hope. And it doesn't have to be money. It can be whatever it is for you in which you put your hope. And this is completely by chance. Joseph played a song for me. My eldest son played a song for me yesterday by a bloke called Tom Rosenthal. I probably pronounced his surname wrong. And the chorus, which is repeated twice, is just great. But this is how it starts. It's sort of sung in a slightly ironic way. This is a young bloke who's kind of shot up to stardom quite quickly. And he's got this song called I'm Too Busy and I'm Too Important. Don't you know how busy I am and how important I am? I've got so much to do. Ask me out to dinner on a Friday night. I can't go. I've got too much to do. And then this is a chorus. Maybe I'm just trying to distract myself from my mortality. Maybe I'm just trying to distract myself from my mortality. You could almost slip that last line into this psalm. And then the psalmist writes in verse 7, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Having looked at life, having seen that life is fleeting, having seen that one option to fill that life, the pursuit of wealth, is vain." He reflects, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." As Christians, we can have hope for stuff in life. We can hope for stuff in life. We can hope for our families. We can hope for our futures. We can hope that we have a really good holiday that will restore us and refresh us and reconnect us with our families. We can hope for a dream job. We can hope for a job. We can hope for more money. We can hope for healing. And we do pray expectantly and hopefully for healing, from recovery from addiction, for situations to improve. We trust in God when we hope, when we pray and hope for these different areas. But, and this is key, what we hope for is secondary to what we put our hope in. Or, more specifically, to whom we put our hope in. The psalmist says, "I put my hope in God." We may hope for things in this life. We should pray hopefully. But we are to put our hope in God, in Jesus. And our hope in Jesus does not deny the reality of the situations that we face. It doesn't deny the reality of what life looks like, both the good and the not so good. And if we turn to the Colossians readings, Colossians 1. By the way, some of you know that this is part of one of my favourite readings. And by the way, some of you also recognise that this reading turns up every year. Okay? I just thought I'd get it in there in January so we could move on. Okay? So it's there, and I'm sort of making no apology about it. Actually, I just did, didn't I? But actually, I'm looking at a slightly different bit than what I kind of tend to sort of look towards. Verse 16 and 17 and then 19 and 20 talk about the Jesus that we put our hope in. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And then from verse 19, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." All things. Everyday stuff, the stuff that we hope for, and the big scary stuff. No situation, no person is beyond him. No situation is beyond his reconciling. This is not false hope. It's not denying the reality of the things that we experience, but seeing Christ as the reality that holds all things together. And there's something that I've sort of come to observe in the last few years, and I'm not sure if I fully thought this through, but I want you to consider it and weigh it up and see if this kind of reflects how you've seen things and how you've observed things. What I've noticed is that for those people that who seem to be able to have this hope in Christ, that have a hope in Christ, that have lived through situations where their hope in Christ remains intact, and they've seen the reality of stuff, is that the hope that they have in Christ also becomes that they, it also becomes the hope that they long for each and every day. They put their ultimate hope in Jesus, and what happens is they hope for more and more of Jesus in their everyday lives. More of his peace, more of his guidance, more of his presence. So whether the glass is half full or half empty or completely empty, what they're not praying about is the glass. They're praying for more of Jesus. And Paul prays this for the church in Philippi. When we did the last season, we did the In Christ series, and we looked at the book of the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And the church are being persecuted, and he prays for them for release from their persecution, but he knows actually the reality is they're being persecuted, and that ain't going to change. So what he prays primarily, what is forefront of his prayer, what he knows they need more than anything else, is that in all situations, Christ is in them. And there's something else that I've observed, which is kind of like the flip side, and see how this lands with you, and see if this kind of rings true with you. It's kind of the flip side of this. So what I was saying before is that if we hope in Christ, if we put our ultimate hope in Christ, then actually, day to day, our hope for Christ becomes a reality. But the flip side is that actually what we hope for in our day to day can ultimately be the things that we put our hope in. If we long for healing, if we long for more money, if we long for popularity, it might end up, these things might end up becoming our ultimate hope. As if healing would answer all of life's problems. As if money would solve everything. As if popularity would sort out the mess. And I think there's a sad consequence to this, a sad consequence to this as a Christian that can happen. Sad, but actually also quite understandable. I can see how this happens. I can see how this could happen in my life and happens in the lives of others. Is that if we put our hope in the healing, it morphs into that, exactly that. Not hope for the healing, but hope in the healing. As if all I need in life is for this healing to happen and everything else will be okay. Or if we put our hope for marriage to such an extent that it becomes our hope in marriage, and that all I need to be happy is to find the right person and then we'll live happily ever after. Or if we put our hope in a successful career, and that morphs into a hope in that career, as if once you've made it to the CEO, all that success that you've got will eliminate everything else that's going on in our lives. Then the sad thing that happens is that if the healing doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen the way we want it to, or if the marriage fails, or we never find the right person, or the success turns out to be hollow, even when we're at the very top, what we find is that we're struggling with our faith. Because we've moved our hope in Christ to our hope in something else. We can hope for these things, but our hope is in Christ. We need to be careful that that what we hope for in our everyday lives is not what we end up putting our ultimate hope in. It's a slightly harder t-shirt to see. By the way, this isn't like me sort of, this is not a, when I told my children that I was going to use Anna's t-shirts, one of them did point out that isn't, am I just doing a sales pitch? That's not the case. They just really do help illustrate a point. But they are available on, no. so this is another t-shirt that, Anna printed. It's Hope and Anchor. It's from Hebrews 6:19, and if you read the Hebrews, the content of Hebrews 6, it's very similar to that Colossians reading. It talks about the supremacy, the promise of Christ, and it has these words about Christ being the hope and anchor. Quite a lot of you know where this t-shirt came from, how this t-shirt came about. So Anna was asked to make this t-shirt, to design this t-shirt and print this t-shirt by Damien Watson. And Damien used to meet up with some of the blokes here. So it's just often on a one-to-one, he'd often go for a pint with them, and they'd talk about faith, they'd talk about lives, they'd talk about their relationships, they'd talk about the stuff that wasn't going so well. And Damien would bring his faith and all his vulnerabilities and his faith into those conversations. And it was Damien's hope that that would be something that happened more regularly at this church, that routinely we'd get together as blokes and have some real conversations and talk about stuff. And actually, out of that came Campfire, and that's been meeting once a month. Sort of since then. In fact, it met yesterday. There was about a dozen or so of you that met up doing just that and having a pint. And as most of you know, Damien died of cancer a while back. And we hoped for healing for Damien, and we prayed for healing for Damien. And Damien would have loved to have been healed. But what he hoped for was secondary to who he put his hope in. In life, Damien had put his hope in Jesus. And in dying, he did the same. Jesus was Damien's hope and anchor. This hope wasn't a shiny, happy, smiley, looking kind of hope. It wasn't a look on the bright side of life. There wasn't much bright side of life to look at. And it wasn't a deluded optimism. It was a real hope. Sometimes a tough hope. And it saw the reality of what was happening. And though he had his ups and downs, as in life, he wasn't inactively waiting in hope for the end. No, he was meeting up with friends and family and sharing the hope that he had, the hope that was in him, the hope in Christ. And this is my prayer for all of us as we go forward in the coming weeks and months, and my prayer for myself. I want to be the sort of follower of Jesus who puts their hope in Jesus in all circumstances. I want my hope in Jesus to overflow into my daily life so that what I am routinely hoping for is more and more of Jesus. Shall we pray?